grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. The text of our sermon today is Psalm 104, verses 24 to 35. O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your possessions, this great and wide sea, in which are innumerable teeming things, living things both small and great. There the ships sail about. There is that Leviathan which you have made to play there. These all wait for you, that you may give them their food in due season. What you give them, they gather in. You open your hand, they are filled with good. You hide your face, they are troubled. You take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. You send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. He looks on the earth and it trembles. He touches the hills and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. May my meditation be sweet to him. I will be glad in the Lord. May sinners be consumed from the earth and the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. Lord God, Heavenly Father, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, today is Harvest Thanksgiving Sunday, and our text is very appropriate, for it tells us of the wonderful works of God, and that we are to praise God for all that he does for us. The psalm from which our text is taken begins with the word, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." We indeed have great reasons to bless and praise our Lord, to sing hymns of praise and thanksgiving to him for his loving kindness toward us, the children of men, for what he has done for each one of us. We especially have reason to praise the Lord for what he has done for us in regard to our eternal salvation. Just think of it. We had forsaken our good God. We had turned our backs to him. And we had become his enemies. His love toward us we had shamefully trampled underfoot and were heedlessly speeding toward eternal perdition. But what did God do? Did he leave us to our doom? He could have done so. This would not in the least have harmed him. It would not in the least have impaired his eternal glory. And it would have been our just due. But instead, what did God do? He opened a way of pardon and salvation for us, sent his own Son to the earth to redeem us, to rescue us from eternal perdition, and to prepare for us the way to our eternal home. Surely, this is the great reason for us to praise God and to sing to him. The hymnist writes, "Dear Christians, one and all rejoice. O sing with exultation, and with united heart and voice, declare your jubilation. Proclaim the wonders God hath done. How his right arm the victory won. Right dearly it has cost him. He spake to his beloved son. 'Tis time to have compassion. Then go my heart's most precious crown. And bring to man salvation. From sin and sorrow set him free. Say bitter death for him that he may live with thee forever." Great indeed is the loving kindness of God and his glory as manifested and revealed in the work of redemption. But great is his glory also as revealed in the works of creation. And also for this reason we have praise and reason to worship God. So let us consider on this Harvest Thanksgiving Sunday the glory of God as revealed in the works of creation. May the Lord bless our meditation. Firstly, God has indeed revealed his glory in the works of creation. The glory of God is revealed in his works, which we see on and within the earth. Our text begins, "O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your possessions." Here the psalmist extols the glory of God as revealed in the works of creation. And the works of creation indeed reveal his glory. Let us look at some of the works mentioned in our text. O Lord, how manifold are your works. The works of the Lord are not only many in number, but they are varied, of a great variety. Just think of the variety of the works of God we find them in the mineral, vegetable and animal kingdom. And today we especially think of the fruits of the harvest. Great and manifold indeed, and also innumerable. We read in Psalm 40, verse 5, "Many, O Lord my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. Or, if I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. And, as our text says, in wisdom you have made them all. All are brought forth by the incomprehensible wisdom and power of God." When man makes something and then looks it over, he often finds this or that fault in it. But when God had finished his work of creation and looked them over, he saw that all were good. Not even infinite wisdom could find any fault in them. The earth is full of your possessions. And God is not stingy, frugal, or miserly. He did not give us an insufficient supply to man of all that he created, but a great abundance. The earth is a rich storehouse of all that man and animals need for the sustenance of life. And the glory of God is revealed in the works that we see in the sea. This great and wide sea, in which are innumerable teeming things, living things both small and great. The ships sail about. There is a Leviathan which you have made to play there. People are continually engaged in exploring the sea, the ocean, and in studying the animals inhabiting it. But the animals of the sea cannot be counted. They are innumerable. Everywhere in the sea, there are moving things and animals, small and great, tiny creatures and great mammals, which live and play and wander amid the waves. And the ships are not to be forgotten. There the ships sail about. The sea, the ocean, is traversed by ships that do business, Scripture says. So also on the sea, the ocean, we find men. It is a highway of nations, and it unites rather than divides distant lands. What glory of God is revealed in all of this? The glory of God is revealed also in his work of preservation. Our text says, "These all wait for you, that you may give them their food in due season. They all look to the Lord for their sustenance, as do we. What an immense household to take care of. And God does take care of it. Our text says, "That you may give them their food in due season. Whatever is needed is given to us by God, and he gives it to us when we are in need of it." The hymnist writes, "He careth for us day and night, all things govern by his might. But we must work for it. What you give them, they gather in. God gives it, but we must put forth efforts to get what we need. Animals and birds have to work in order to obtain food, and so must man. But nevertheless, it is true that a heavenly Father feeds all. You open your hand and they are filled with good. God opens his hands, that is, he gives to all living creatures what they are in need of. If he would not open his hand, death and starvation would be the result. Yet, as our text says, you hide your face, they are troubled. If God hides his face from his creatures, hides it in anger. If he does not open his hand, does not give them what they need, there are frowns upon them, and they are filled with terror, and they are terribly perplexed. And you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. If the Lord does not permit them to breathe, then all vitality is gone, and the body crumbles back to the earth from which it was originally taken. In God, all things live and move and have their being. We live only as long as God permits us to live, until he bids us to die. As Jesus says regarding the little sparrows, not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. And on the other hand, you send forth your Spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. By the Spirit of God, creatures come forth and have their life. The Holy Spirit, together with the Father and the Son, is the creator and preserver of heaven and earth. The Spirit of God, who created at first, creates new life to this day. The work of creation was finished in the first 6 days of the world, but the work of creation is renewed every day, and the work of preservation goes on and continues until the end of the world. And as Scripture says, that while the earth remains, seed time and harvest shall not cease. In autumn and winter of the earth, as it were, goes to sleep, which makes it appear worn and old. But how readily the Lord awakens it with the voice of spring and decks it anew with the beauty of youth. Yes, great indeed is the glory of God as revealed in the works of creation. May we often ponder this. The more we do this, the greater and more glorious our God will appear to us, and we shall be constrained to praise, thank, and glorify him. So secondly, this truth must induce us to thank and praise God. God's creation and providence must induce us to praise and glorify God, to praise and glorify him who has so gloriously revealed himself to us in the works of his creation. We read in our text, "May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. He looks on the earth and it trembles. He touches the hills and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. May my meditation be sweet to him. I will be glad in the Lord. May sinners be consumed from the earth and the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul, praise the Lord." These words are words of praise, in which the psalmist expresses the thoughts of his heart about the greatness of God. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. Although everything else passes away, his glory will never pass away. God will still be glorious when the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up, and therefore God deserves to be praised without ceasing. And may the Lord rejoice in his works. The Lord, who after 6 days of creation rested and as it were rejoiced because he saw that everything was very good. Still today, in a measure, God rejoices in the works of creation as far as they are the works of his hand. And if he rejoices in them, we surely also ought to rejoice in them and thank and praise God for having created them and having placed them at our disposal for our sustenance and our delight. He looks on the earth and it trembles. He touches the hills and they smoke. Often the earth trembles in earthquakes, and the hills, the mountains, the volcanoes smoke, spewing forth torrents of lava. And this too must induce us to praise him, our God, who with a single look is able to do this. It must induce us to stand in holy and reverential awe before this, our great and majestic God. We ought to sing to him all our lives. I'll sing to the Lord as long as I live. Even if he visits the earth in earthquakes and eruptions of volcanoes, he is still our God, my God, in whom we have our being, and is worthy of all praise and honour and glory. He is worthy to be forever exalted and extolled in the songs of all redeemed mankind. I'll sing praise to my God while I have my being. And especially we Christians must not forget nor neglect this. We know and believe. We confess in John chapter 3 verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And in Romans chapter 8 verse 32, "He who did not spare his own Son but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" So how can we keep silent? We know him to be our God. He means well with us, even if at times, as it were, he hides his face from us and frowns upon the earth. And then, we must praise and thank God also for the evil days which he permits to come upon us, because we know, as you read in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. The longer we sing to God and praise him, the more it'll be a pleasure for us. May my meditation be sweet to him. I'll be glad in the Lord. The more we meditate over and think of God, of what he did and still does for us, the sweeter such meditation will become to us, the more delighted we will be to survey his wondrous works. It will be a source of joy for us to think of God. And what the heart thinks, the mouth speaks. We learn this from Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So yes, let us sing to the Lord. Oh, that I had 1,000 voices to praise my God with 1,000 tongues. My heart, which in the Lord rejoices, would then proclaim in grateful songs to all, wherever I might be, what great things God has done for me. O all ye powers that he implanted, arise and silence keep no more. Put forth the strength that he has granted, your noblest work is to adore. O soul and body, make ye meet, with heartfelt praise your God to greet. And in thus singing to the Lord, the psalmist in verse 35 gives voice to the desire that there would be no more sinners on the earth, that sin was consumed and done away with, and that all human beings would join the praises of God, and that God could again look at his works, as he did immediately after he had created them, before they had been marred by sin, and see and behold everything to be very good. Bless the Lord, O my soul, praise the Lord. So on this Harvest Thanksgiving Sunday and always, may we never forget to praise our good Lord for his wonderful works, for providing for us what we need from day to day. May we never be slow in doing so. He is our great God, who always means well with us, who has created everything for our benefit and enjoyment, and therefore is surely worthy to receive glory and honour and power. So let us close with the words of the hymnist, Praise, O praise, our God and King, hymns of adoration sing, for his mercies still endure, ever faithful, ever sure. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.